half of England belongs to less than 1% of the population. This startling fact remains one of our nation's oldest and darkest secrets, deliberately concealed by those who benefit from it. Land isn't just another investment, it's unique. Its scarcity guarantees value, and owners profit without effort as property values rise through others' labor. Since 1995, UK land values have increased fivefold, now representing over half the nation's wealth. Why does this matter? Land ownership shapes where we live, what food we eat, and how we protect nature. Yet politicians dismiss questions about land distribution as the politics of envy. When I began investigating out of environmental concern and frustration with housing costs, I was astonished by how difficult it was to answer a seemingly simple question: who owns England? The journey to uncover this mystery revealed that the concentration of ownership isn't just a historical curiosity, it's a living legacy that continues to shape everything from our housing crisis to our ecological collapse. Imagine waking up to discover that the fields you walk through, the forests you enjoy, even the ground beneath your home, all are controlled by a tiny elite whose power has persisted for centuries. This is the reality of England today, hidden in plain sight. The 6th Duke of Westminster advised entrepreneurs to make sure they have an ancestor who was a very close friend of William the Conqueror. This wasn't idle wit. Today's largest landowners, like the Grosvenors with their $9 billion fortune and 130,000-acre estate, often trace their holdings to the Norman Conquest. William's conquest was history's greatest land grab, replacing 4,000 Anglo-Saxon thegns with fewer than 200 Norman barons and clergy. The Domesday Book reveals the king owned 17% of England's landed wealth, religious leaders 26%, and 190 barons 54%, with 12 barons controlling a quarter of the kingdom. Parliament's Enclosure Acts, 1604-1914, seized 6.8 million acres of common land, while many estates were built on slavery and colonialism, with over 3,000 British properties linked to slave owners. Male primogeniture preserved these holdings through generations, unlike in Wales, Kent, or France, where land was divided between heirs. By Victorian times, just 4,217 landowners controlled half of England and Wales. And despite claims of aristocratic decline after World War I, the aristocracy still owns roughly a third today. The Chapel of the Savoy occupies the former site of John of Gaunt's palace, destroyed in the 1381 poll tax rebellion. When Gaunt's son, Henry Bolingbroke, claimed the throne, he established the Duchy of Lancaster as his personal estate, an arrangement that persists today. The modern duchy spans 45,674 acres of grouse moors, farmland, villages, and coastal holdings. It operates with unique opacity, exempt from both National Audit Office oversight and Freedom of Information requests. The Duchy of Cornwall, established for the heir apparent, exists in similar legal ambiguity. Neither company, charity, nor public body, it avoids corporation tax while controlling 130,000 acres across England and Wales, making Prince Charles the nation's largest private landowner. Even Buckingham Palace lacks a registered proprietor, a testament to how medieval crown institutions remain woven into Britain's modern political fabric. A 28.5 million Mayfair mansion sits empty, one of 60,000 vacant properties across Britain, with 1,500 in Kensington and Chelsea alone. These properties, owned through offshore companies by global elites from Kazakhstan's ruling family to Michael Bloomberg, remain unoccupied while Grenfell survivors lack housing. Four waves of wealth have reshaped UK land ownership. First, Edwardian industrialists like the Vestey brothers converted their meatpacking fortune into the 5,500-acre Stowell Park estate. The 1973 oil boom brought Middle Eastern investors, with Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum amassing 92,000 acres through offshore companies. post-Soviet Russian billionaires form the third wave, turning Belgrave Square into Red Square and acquiring properties like fertilizer magnate Andrei Guriev's 65-room Wittenhurst mansion. Thatcher's policies sparked the fourth wave, creating domestic moguls like tax-avoiding Jim Ratcliffe and James Dyson, who acquired 33,000 acres while collecting $1.6 million in subsidies, turning vast tracts of habitable land into investment vehicles for the ultra-wealthy. The public sector owns merely 8.5%, 2.7 million acres, of England's freehold land. Since 2010's austerity, the government has mapped assets for sale, with iconic properties like the old War Office and Admiralty Arch becoming luxury venues. The Ministry of Defense controls vast territories, 593,053 acres owned outright, expanding to 1.1 million acres with leased land and training rights. This extensive footprint originated during the World Wars when the government requisitioned nearly 14.5 million acres of Britain. Though much land was returned post-war, the military retained significant holdings despite promises to original owners. The ghost villages of Tyneham, Imber, and six Norfolk communities in the Stanford training area remain under military control despite Churchill's pledges of civilian return. Urban public spaces increasingly operate as privately owned public spaces, areas that appear public but function under private bylaws and security. These corporate-controlled zones restrict activities like protests, exemplified by swift removals from Qatar-owned Canary Wharf during peaceful demonstrations. Thatcher's property-owning democracy initially succeeded through right-to-buy, pushing home ownership from 55% to 71% by 2003. However, the cessation of council house building and halved private development from 400,000 to 200,000 homes yearly reversed this progress. House prices soared from 25,000 in 1980 to 175,000 by 2008, driven by cheap credit. Post-financial crash, home ownership collapsed, especially among young adults, with only 27% of middle-income 25-34-year-olds owning homes versus 65% previously, creating generation rent. Housing construction remains far below the required 300,000 annual homes, while land ownership stays concentrated. Homeowners own merely 5.4% of England's land, with aristocrats, gentry, and financiers controlling the majority. St. George's Hill exemplifies this inequality. Once occupied by Winstanley's diggers advocating common ownership in 1649, it's now an exclusive enclave where 30 million mansions sit behind gates, with 72 properties worth $282 million in offshore havens, demonstrating socialism for the rich, capitalism for the poor. Much of England's land ownership remains hidden, with only one-third of England and Wales's ownership publicly known through the land registry. The public sector, church, crown lands, and conservation charities own 12.4% of England. Of the private 88%, corporations hold 18%, homeowners 5%, aristocracy and gentry 30%, and new money 17%, with 17% unregistered. Land ownership is strikingly concentrated. Just 25,000 landowners, less than 1% of the population, control half of England, a pattern largely unchanged since 1086. Land reform has become urgent given the housing crisis, biodiversity loss, Brexit's agricultural impact, and growing inequality. Following Scotland's example, priorities include increasing ownership transparency, enhancing council purchasing power, and addressing vacant properties. The land represents our shared inheritance and community connection, yet remains controlled by few. Reform of land stewardship could create a more equitable society, fulfilling the diggers' vision of a common treasury for all.